We haven't talked about the show yet. Do you want to talk about the show real quick?
I mean, I wrote a show doc last night.
You did. So, hello, my name is Mark. My name is Jason. Salt.
Salty and sweet.
Salt. Who does? I'm typically salt, right?
I'll be salty if you want to be. If you want to be sweet. I'm just really happy to be here.
So we're going to talk about where we are. You're going to talk about the experience, yada, yada, yada. I'll jump in there. Cool souvenirs. So then what are we working on? It's going to be your reflections and just like where that conversation takes us. I wanted to share some other reflections. I didn't really write other ones down. So hopefully it's all just going to come to me. That is the plan.
I'll elicit some from you. It'll be okay. I'll channel my inner mic and work on my interviewing skills.
I'm Hunter Pence, and you're listening to the Misplay Podcast. Oh, yeah.
Hello, and welcome to the Misplay, where we don't roll dice as well as other people.
My name is Salt.
My name is Sweet.
Yeah, I want less random in my games. Or I want, like, a board game casual video on how to get better at rolling dice. Like, is it out of your left hand? Is it right hand? How far is the drop? Should there be a spin to the die?
There's technique to it, for sure.
Where are we?
We're at Gen Con.
We are. And specifically, where are we? At Gen Con. It's Saturday. It's the third day of Gen Con. We've had opportunities to walk the floor, to meet people, to play in events. Where are we right now?
We're in the middle of Lucas Oil Stadium, surrounded by board games and people playing them and people just having a good time.
And you can probably hear them.
Probably.
This is my absolute favorite place at the con so far. I really like the atmosphere in here. I really like the acoustics. It's not very loud. It's a really cool visual. And how often do you get to sit in the middle of an NFL football field and play board games?
Once a year.
Once a year. Yeah.
Nailed it.
Good answer.
Aside from where we are physically, where are we?
We came to Gen Con to... We talked about it on the last show. We had goals. And we came to Gen Con this weekend primarily just to experience it, to have fun, to play games. That's where we're at with what we're doing in terms of creating our game. We're in a position where we just wanted to come and experience, you know, the best 4 days of gaming.
That's from their advertising, right?
Yeah, it is. They're not paying for that.
I don't think Gen Con needs the Misplay bump.
So you have told me that you have been in awe just with the scope of everything. Because one of my goals was to take it in, like visually see when I think Gen Con, I have like a picture, right? Describe the picture. And what's interesting about that question is you can't even describe the full picture. You're going to describe part of the picture right now.
I think the snapshot that captures it best for me is one, it is a huge event, which is part of the reason why it's hard to condense down into a single, like, visual soundbite. But I think when I look around, I see a combination of people playing games, games being demoed, vendors doing their thing, selling their games, showing copies, and the movement of people between those things. And I think the thing that, aside from the scope, the thing that kind of gives me the most pause and that sense of wonder is I'm looking at some people playing Wingspan. And if I turn my head to the left, I can watch the Game of Thrones game being played. And if I turn my head to the right, I can see six card games that I didn't know existed, trading card games. And the variety of the people, the variety of the games, the variety of the affect, and it's under that umbrella. This variety is all under this umbrella of being at Gen Con with this combined love of gaming.
the whole time you've been talking, I just want to yell at you, turn around. Behind you is the games library, and there's got to be more than 1,000 games over there, and there's got to be hundreds of people, and they're just picking a game off of the shelf, and they're playing it. So, like, the variety of games that are happening behind us is insane, let alone everything you're seeing here directly next to us.
And even the surrounding area, right? Like, our hotel room is on the 9th floor, and across from our hallway is a, like, community meeting room that has people in it until 2 o'clock in the morning, where they literally have to come in and kick you out so they can clean it for tomorrow.
As they did.
You mentioned the goals that we had, and I'm probably going to sound like a broken record, but I have not gotten over this sense of childlike joy that I don't know if I could put a finger on when I felt this way previously in a long time. This is also one of the first vacations that I've taken where I'm not a picture person. Like, I go to Brazil, I don't take pictures. I go and I, like, do dance fighting. I go and hang out with my friends. They take pictures and then I save them on my phone. I've taken a lot of pictures here.
I know. Every time I look back for you or turn to my, like, shoulder, where did Mark go? You're standing next to a company banner with, like, a character on it, and you're taking a selfie. You made me stand in front of a giant mech and took a picture. And I think for some of it, it's for other people, right? You're sending these to somebody, right? You're saying, hey, check out this thing, right?
I think you nailed it. One of the things that kind of keeps coming into my thinking while I'm here is this is such a collision of the history of my life. Like, those signs that I'm stopping for are things that I did in my childhood. Like, I went and took a picture with a Transformers poster today. Like, I watched Transformers. We've been playing Magic. We're here as the Misplay. The pictures that I'm taking and sending are pictures that I'm sending to friends that I game with in San Francisco. I'm on a quest to find this. I'm on a quest to find the Triangle Agency people.
This has been fun, yeah.
Because of my childhood best friends.
We haven't found it yet, but we're going to.
I'm going to today, and if not today, tomorrow. But it has been such this, like, aggregation, like, nexus point of so many things that are so important to me. And I've even done some awesome dance fighting here that, like, on some level, I know you've, like, laughed at it, but I can't separate it from the experience because it is just part of, like, being here for me. When I go places, I go dance fight.
You gave a really good reason. I understood it. Like, it makes sense to me now. I'm giving you no more grief for that. It makes total sense to me.
What about you? I've gone off and, like, painted the very, like, romanticized version of how I experience being here. How has it been for you?
I have really enjoyed seeing the variety of people here and having the opportunity to talk to people who are developing games, who were probably at some point in the same position we are, just starting out. I bought a game, it's called Jungle Ball, and I got to talk to the developer who, this is their first game. They launched it on Kickstarter. Here they are selling it at Gen Con, right? It's amazing, that's awesome. And that has been the piece for me that I have enjoyed the most.
And that game double purposes, right? Because the game is really cute. We had a good time playing it. But it's also the one you got for your kids, right?
Yes, yeah.
So mission accomplished. Check that box.
Yep. You got some souvenirs as well?
I found a game for my classroom. It is hard to find games that I can modify and make accessible for my room. I got this lovely little game. I'm going to put a picture of it to you so that we can put it on Instagram. But it's this little, like, hand dexterity and matching game, which fits some of the things that I work on in my classroom. It has, like, educational value in, like, occupational therapy and, like, fine motor development. It has educational learning in the matching component, and it's fun. Like, it's a cute game to play. It was a great find. I'm incredibly excited. And I've picked up other cool souvenirs for aforementioned friends. We got some tea. That was a cool find.
I bought one other game so far, Mark, and I know you're laughing internally because it's a single player game.
Oh yeah, you got the, it was the Gloomhaven thing, right? Yeah, there's a single player Gloomhaven.
Buttons and Bugs, Gloomhaven. It's a single player. I have enjoyed playing Gloomhaven so much that I went out and bought a single player game so I can play by myself when the Frost Runners or Jeff or Mike aren't available.
How do you feel betraying your stance on not playing single player games?
No. No, I view it as I'm growing as a gamer. How about that?
Tell me more.
Well, I think when we came into this initially, I was really closed-minded on what I found enjoyable because of my limited experience with games, right? So I only liked these X games that took X amount of time and had these mechanics in it. And now that's not the case. I'm finding I do really like this. I played a role-playing party game this morning at a demo booth and loved it. Like, it was so good. That's not typical things I want to sit down and do.
That's a great answer.
Thank you.
I think that feels like a checked box for a goal that we didn't have, but or like steps in the process of playing more games, expanding what we've experienced. And look, you're finding new preferences.
Yeah. Before we go on, this week's episode is brought to you by Board Game Casual. Board Game Casual is a YouTube channel welcoming people into the board game hobby with video reviews, recommendations, unboxings, tips for accessorizing on a budget, and more. You can find them by searching Board Game Casual on YouTube or at Board Game Casual channel.
One of the other observations that I've had about being at Gen Con is this sense of community that seems to revolve around, one, the larger scope of the entire event, but also at like every table, there's this aspect of togetherness and cooperation. The couple of times that we've gotten to sit and play with people that we didn't know have been very helpful, very kind. Everyone is kind of here to celebrate and take part in this hobby that we all love. I want to express some gratitude to Board Game Casual for, while our community right now in Discord is pretty small, they're always there, they're always listening, they're always offering ideas, suggestions, comments about things that I didn't know to ask questions about. And so, like, to have Board Game Casual as somebody who is welcoming people into the board gaming community, I don't think I could think of a better ambassador for the board game community than Board Game Casual. Go check them out on YouTube. Give them a follow. Subscribe to their newsletter.
What are we working on?
I'm going to come back to this idea of being in awe. You talked about all the new games that we've gotten to see, the game that you bought. When I look at the small indie game developers and the games that they have created, it makes me think about what this process needs in order to get to where we want to go.
Go on.
It's really sent me back to episode one, the first show, where we talked about not knowing what we don't know. I think that's still very true, but I think being at Gen Con has really expanded the amount of what we don't know, and there's more. So for me, I think what we're working on, what I'm going to be thinking about as I go home, is what are the things that we want to add or change or do as kind of our immediate next steps, and start thinking about our more long-term plan. If we're looking at being here next year in the capacity of really being here as the Misplay, what do we want to do in order to be ready for that?
Yeah, we're learning so much. I was talking to one game developer who said that they registered their booth in October. Mark, we're not registering a booth here in October. Like, we're not filling out an application to be here next year in October as the Misplay to sell a game, right? And you know, that's one of the things that we're seeing, and not that we ever thought we were really going to be here next year selling a game, but understanding like the scope of this project and all of the steps that need to happen and what that schedule and what that timeline needs to look like, we're realizing like how much more planning we have to do and how much more we have to be actively doing for the game and for the podcast to be in a position where we can create a game and we can be proud of it. And there is so much that we have to learn. And I will say right now, in the newsletter this week, I mixed up the difference between asymmetry and asynchronous. I mixed those two up. And I started talking to you in the hall while we were walking. And I was like, man, I feel like I'm just not in the same position as these people. Listening to them talk about their games and the development, listening to the questions that Mike is asking them, I feel like, man, my answers aren't good enough, right? I'm talking very surface level about the things that I'm doing with the games that I'm creating, both, you know, with our prototypes and in my head. And I'm saying to myself, can I do this? My confidence, it was first or second episode where I said, Mark, do you really think we're doing this? You're like, I don't know, like 20%. I'm like, no, 100%. Now I'm like, 95%. I still got this. Is that bad?
No, I think it's great. Okay. I think it's honest. And I think you should leave that question in. I think one of the big questions for me becomes a question of process. I think we have a strong process for how we record the show, how we talk about what we're doing, and the values and standards that we have about the podcast as a product. I look at the way that we're working on games and the skill set of the game design part of the project, and I feel like we want to spend time. I feel like it's important to go back and think about what our process will look like. Because the reason that I was 20% when you asked me that question at the beginning of the show was it has always been in the back of my mind that the time commitment to do this in the way that we want to would be a really challenging thing to plan around. And so I think for me, one of the immediate steps is looking at how we can start to shape a process where we are dedicating time not just to the podcast, but to the game design elements and to learning about games so that we can build towards the kind of product that we will be proud of and believe in.
Let me ask you this question. There are 1,000 or more game developers here. If it's not 1,000, it's high hundreds. If that many people can do it, Mark, can't we?
The immediate thing that comes to mind when you ask that question is it reminds me of a story of a friend I had in college who decided not to go into computer science and computer engineering because he had a mentor be like, look, if you want to do this in the environment that we're in right now, the people that are going into computer science and computer engineering are people that have been taking apart and playing with computer pieces since they were children. And you started when you were 18. It's not impossible, but there's a learning curve and there's a gap in knowledge and there's kind of a gap in commitment. I don't want to call it commitment because I know we're committed to the project, but there's a gap in like the ability and the decision to dedicate the amount of time and energy that it takes to do it in the way that'll get us to where we want to go.
And I was being a little facetious with the question, right?
Sure.
I don't want anyone listening to think, oh, he doesn't think that this is a challenging thing to do and anyone can just create a board game, launch it, be successful, and start their own house selling games. I was just asking you that question to see what your answer would be. Mike C had asked me the question. He said, what's your end game? Just tell me what your end game is. And I said, to get a game to crowdfunding. He goes, well, that's easy. You can get any game to crowdfunding. Take Mark versus Jason. You could get that game, the crowdfunding, right? If that is your goal, do that. MMA Gauntlet, you want to take it to crowdfunding? Do that. That's your game. Do it. And as we were exploring that and talking about that, the answer changed. It wasn't just get a game to Kickstarter. There's the element of the podcast being successful. There is the element of creating a game that we are proud of, that we enjoy playing ourselves. And that slows down the process. That changes the process.
And thinking about if the goal is to crowdfund it, you have to have enough people that are interested in playing it and buying it, right? Like, I don't.
Not if the goal is just to get the crowdfunding. And Mike was very clear on that. If your goal is just to get the crowdfunding, anyone can just start a Kickstarter page and put something up there. Goal achieved, right? So that wasn't, we have to modify the goal. And so I think that's one of the things that we'll be sitting down and we'll be talking about over the next few weeks as we create a roadmap. I think that's the piece that we're missing. And you talked about drawing up beautiful pictures with diagrams and arrows and things, right?
I'm just about finishing up my schoolwork for my postgrad certificate. The class that I'm taking for this last quarter is studying behavior management for systems and organizations. And so I've always needed to relate the content that I've been learning in my classes to my daily experience. And so far it's been pretty easy because everything I've learned, I've just been able to take and put in my classroom. This one is different. And the Misplay podcast and the concept of designing a game as a project fits what I'm learning in school right now. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to build like an organization diagram and I'm going to build a process diagram. There are more technical terms for them that I have to go back and study because I don't remember them. But yes, I agree. And I think we should sit down and do it together to make sure that I think I have an idea of what it would look like, but I want to make sure that it meets the goals and the outcomes and doesn't get lost in my like academic study. I want to make sure it stays rooted in the reality of what we want it to be.
Yeah. So, I mean, a little bit of a reality check being here. I think that's a good way to summarize it. But let's end on the high note.
I'm ready to buy my tickets for next year.
Absolutely. Absolutely planning to come back. And as I was listening to us talk, I was imagining I was a listener and I was going, are these guys not creating a game? Is this the last episode? Are they done? Are they packing it up? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. We are excited about it still.
You're even smiling while you say it.
Yeah, that's good, right? I want to make sure people believe and understand that. We are excited about this. This is something we are doing. This is something we are passionate about. And we're just trying to learn how to do it. And, you know, we keep saying over and over, this is the process. This is the process for two people. Had we started the podcast on the first episode and said, this is the game we're creating, and we just... it's a completely different podcast. And you would almost expect the people doing that already have the background knowledge that we're working on getting. We started our podcast with, we're two people who want to make a board game, right? And we're going from there. So we're definitely coming back next year. That is in the cards. That is the plan. We talked about how our trip was kind of mapped out for us. What are you thinking about for next year for both yourself and for the Misplay? Because I had said to you, this is 90% us just having fun playing games, 10% I'm going to do some Misplay scouting and maybe I'll drop a flyer or a coaster somewhere, which I've managed to do. Next year, how are you looking at what we're going to do here, both for you personally, for enjoyment, and maybe for the Misplay as well?
I think personally for me, first, I want to thank Mike for being such an incredible guide on this first foray into Gen Con. It was easy. It was no hassle. It was a wonderful first experience at Gen Con. I look forward to next year getting to do a little bit more programming for myself where I look more closely at what's available and decide like, oh, I'm going to go take a seminar. I think, like, I really want to go sit in a seminar just to see something different. I would like to look in advance for myself and figure out, oh, like, what kinds of events do I want to do? And so just being more in charge of the things that I do. Now, it was very flexible. I was able to do whatever I wanted, and I did. But, like, getting to build the schedule for myself, I think, is the biggest thing that I'll do personally different for myself next year. I'm also hoping to convince a handful of friends to come in addition. For the show, or for the misplay, I think next year for me is finding and sitting down, finding more ways to interact with other creators and become more adept at asking them about their process.
I'm nodding my head, but it's a podcast. You guys can't see that.
You know, if there's a world where we can maybe organize some, like, misplay meetups, and maybe have a couple of, you know, not going to be the Gen Con game, but it'd be cool to, like, bring a couple of games, meet some people, and be like, hey, help us out. Playtest.
And Andrew from Once Upon a Galaxy sent me a message on Discord. He's here. He's promoting Once Upon a Galaxy. They're launching a Kickstarter. And he had said to me, I want to play one of your games. Do you have one of your games, a paper copy? And I was like, oh, that would have been a good idea, right?
Print and play Word Warpers. Print and play Mark versus Jason.
There we go. So, yeah, that was. I'm not going to say it's a missed opportunity because we weren't really planning to do that. But for next year, right, wherever we're at with a game, to have something that people can come and play and try, right, even though we're not launching it, we're not selling at a market table, that would be really cool. And I thought it was really awesome that Andrew had asked. I was really blown away by that. Made me feel good that he was like, it tells me people are listening. And, you know, he's invested in what we're doing already.
And it puts us in the category of game designer. I don't know. If you, like, walked up to me on the street and were like, hey, like, what are the things that you do? What are you into? I don't know that I would describe myself as a game designer. Now, I know, like, we're doing that. Like, I have made games that we have played. But the external recognition of there is a theoretical person, an actual person in Andrew, who's willing to play something that we've created is affirming. It's affirming in a way that I hadn't considered.
For me, one of the things that I want to do next year is take in the things I don't know about yet, right? In the beginning of it, you know, I wanted you to paint a picture, and I said, well, we don't know what the full picture is. There's hallways in the convention center that I don't even know what's in that room. I don't know what's in that door. I haven't walked down that hallway yet. There's things we haven't seen. I would like to do a little bit more prep. Now that I've soaked it in and I've seen what Gen Con is, I'd like to do a little bit more prep, and I'd like to find out where other people are that I'm interested in. There's other I listen to board game podcasts. There's other people here that I'm a fan of and that I follow, and I'm like, oh, what are they doing? I should go to one of their events. I should talk to them about games. So I want to, like you said, make more connections with content creators, but also I would like to develop a relationship with at least one indie publisher, one indie developer, and be in a position where I can interview them or sit down with them at their booth and play a game or have a misplay event with them in some way.
I think it would be a great goal for us for the podcast, for the game, to have next year's live Gen Con show have a guest.
Put it on the roadmap.
Yeah.
Done. What's next for us?
A little bit of back to the drawing board. Peter is one of the people that I've been sending pictures to. I've also been hunting, trying to help him find a gift game for him to give to someone. But we've talked about it a couple times now, I think. He had an idea where we're each supposed to come up with a pitch, concept, and some early sketches for a design of Nightmare Smashers. So I think for next show, let's sink our teeth back into making more games. We've dedicated a lot of time to Dating Game. We're still working on it. It's time to broaden back out as we kind of look at our process. And starting with something new, I think, will help put the process in a new lens.
Love it. And while we might have hinted at it at various times on the recordings, we've always, every time we've talked about games, someone has always made a comment to us, or we've made the comment, Nightmare Smashers, right? It was an idea that you had pitched very early on, but you had said, no, I want to stay away from kids' games. So we're going to look at it from a lens of, well, can we do it and not be a kids' game? I also have an idea for a kids' game, too. So we'll see. We'll see what makes the show. We'll see what makes the show next episode.
The Misplay Podcast is brought to you by Mike C., Missy, JP Savard, Parney, Kyle Flowers, Adjos, Brian, Bins, and Peter. Consider donating at patreon.com/themisplay. If you'd like to become a featured sponsor of the show, find our FAQ and Discord.
Tips for accessorizing on a budget and more.
Try accessorizing one more time.
You keep telling me every time. Accessorizing. Is that not right?
Access.
Accessorizing?
Accessorizing.
Accessorizing. Accessorizing.
Not assessing.